Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed. With me as ever is Marit Larwood.
Hello there.
And we are joined by a third person this week.
This week's guest is the third Coen brother. Little known...
Leonard Coen.
No, British television producer Howard Coen.
Hello, both of you.
Are you the third Coen brother?
No, they're almost anti-Coens to us because they lost the H in the name, so...
Are you all Coen with an H? Have you got two older brothers, though, who are
yes,
Coens?
Yeah.
So you are a third Coen brother.
But I thought you were talking about the famous film directors. Given it's a film show, I thought you were implying that.
No, I was talking about you are the third Coen brother in your family.
Well, no one needs to know that.
You're
really
not of the family of Coens who made the Garfield films, are
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't got much to say there. No.
Sorry. No, it's Joel Coen, apparently.
Oh, really?
So the story goes Bill Murray did it because he thought he was signing up for a Coen Brothers movie.
Really?
And
wow.
It's the wrong Joel Coen. But I
should get an agent, really, shouldn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, should, really. Well, he doesn't have one. He's got a
yeah,
P.O. box,
hasn't
he?
I know.
I'm going to get a P.O. box. I'll probably get more work. I'm just remembering to put my phone on airport mode.
Do I need to do that too?
It's just fun, isn't it?
This bit probably would be cut, isn't it? You'd
assume. Oh, no, we do this every week. It's the fans' favourite.
Everyone, even at home, has all put our phones on airplane mode, especially if you listen to this on an airplane.
Does that mean you'll bring me small bags of nuts now that I've done my phone?
Yeah,
like
maybe. This could save lives, actually. It could be someone on a plane listening to this.
Yeah.
And then there was some interference. It started getting turbulence, and we've saved not just one life, but the lives of everyone aboard that plane. It's that sort of magic that we provide at Film Fandango. Everyone's 18th favourite film podcast.
It's not just a podcast, it's also your guardian angel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Howard and I have been working on a project recently, which I'm going to take this opportunity. We don't plug stuff that much, do we?
No, not anymore.
Yeah. It's my job now, it used to be a sort of performer, I suppose. Now I'm essentially a Boris Johnson impersonator.
For parties and things.
Yeah.
Not even for that.
Not yet, this time.
And we have made a series of guides to London, Howard and I, for Yahoo Comedy.
Who knows that Yahoo Comedy even exists? Well, this is the beginning of it, basically.
Yeah. So it would really help my career out if our listeners just go to Google, type in Yahoo Comedy, Boris Johnson, and hopefully these clips will come up. Do you know what? You don't even have to watch them. Just
end
click
of the
on...
month, no. End of the month.
Yeah, it'll be out by then. Just click on them a few times, and you could be saving my career. Okay, that's done.
Lovely.
Great. I think
they're
you could make
well.
Quite a bit of money doing Thames boat tours as Boris Johnson. I think do 12 of those a day, you could break in the cash.
Well, one of the films is me doing a bus tour.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well,
seeing as you're plugging stuff, is it possible for me to plug my podcast, which is called Possibly of Interest? Marek was in an episode. I don't know if you know that. Do you know that?
No, I don't know. He's
I don't
doing...
like to talk about
it. And Marek actually said that he thought it was really good.
Oh, that's all right.
Those were exact words.
It's just three men chatting about things they found interesting.
Sounds awful.
Yeah, imagine that.
This is going to be all good now, isn't it? Fucking hell.
No,
I was going to ask you on.
It was self-referential. Yeah. Well,
well, if we wait till the end when the listeners have heard you speak and heard your opinions on things, then we can remind. We can send them off into the night with the details of your podcast.
Yeah. We had a film bit on there actually, which was interesting. But I'll save that for them when they listen to
it. We should start talking films now.
Yeah.
Yes. Do it.
Each week, our guests, well, in the olden days, used to bring in a film.
Yeah.
And Howard's brought in a film that we were going to talk about today.
What film have you brought for us, Howard?
I've brought in a very underrated, brilliant comedy. Because in my opinion, I struggle with comedy films. I don't think they're great. Do you know what I mean? They make me laugh, but like I don't love them. I don't want to watch them again and again. Obviously, if I was to say what your favourite film comedy films, everyone says Airplane.
Yeah.
Any others that spring to mind?
Life of Brian.
Blazing Saddles.
You'd watch those again and again and again. Yeah. But in the current world, I don't find that many that make me want to watch them again.
21 Jump Street, I can watch over and over again.
Okay, I'll give you
Anchorman.
That one.
But they're far more misses than hits, aren't they?
And I mean, one that I definitely think was a great, great, great hit was a film by Mike Judge, the creator of Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill, called Idiocracy. Which is, if do you want to describe it?
Yes, please.
It's a story of an idiot in the current time sphere who is put into a military experiment to be frozen for a year. And then he wakes up 500 years into the future and the world is completely stupid. It couldn't be more stupid. Everyone is an idiot. The biggest show on television is literally just someone being kicked in the balls. Again and again.
How have they become so stupid, Howard?
Well, it's got a eugenics sort of spin on the beginning, hasn't it?
It's a little bit, yeah.
Basically, the theory is, if I remember rightly, it's I haven't watched it this week, but I have seen it. It is that sensible, intelligent people have fewer children because they want to wait for the right time and they want to have the right situation and everything, so they have far fewer kids, if have any at all. There's a whole sequence pre-titled.
Yeah, it's really clever, yeah.
And then stupid people, dumb people, just keep forgetting to use contraception and just keep rotting like rabbits and have children after children after children, and so just on a numbers thing, everyone goes stupid. But it's sort of, I mean, the very theory is saying that stupid people will always have stupid children and clever people would always have clever children.
And because there's more and more stupid people having children, the world eventually becomes populated just by stupid people.
Yeah.
And the world just falls apart, basically, by the time he arrives. He wakes from his stasis. Something goes wrong in the experiment, doesn't it, basically? And he wakes, and the world's just that of idiots.
I agree with the theory.
Do you?
Yep.
The stupid people you know, do they have stupid parents?
It sounds really bad, but I think people are getting stupider. As I talked on your podcast about reading my uncle's old letters from the Second World War, him being really working class,
yeah,
and his letters were very erudite and very well written, whereas, is erudite even the right word?
yes, that's articulate.
Yes, whereas I was on the bus, for an example, I was on the bus the other day, and some people were sitting behind me talking, and I presumed from their conversation that they were 14-year-old, 13-year-old children through the content of their conversation and the way they were using the English language. I was shocked when they were...
Peter Sissons.
And Alistair Campbell. When they were like proper adults having a conversation, I couldn't quite believe... It was like watching a scene from Idiocracy.
Well, and I think that's what makes the film so great, is that it was made maybe 10 years ago now.
Have we got 2006.
2006, so it's made a little while ago, and it really feels like we're getting there. That's why I wanted to pick this film, because it is just so shocking how stupid we've already become, in my opinion, really.
Yeah, I mean, they get to the point of sort of monster truck Colosseum fights and things, don't they? And
it's also the way the language has... devolved. You see what I've done there? That's a new word I've invented there.
You haven't invented devolved.
I think devolved doesn't exist. As a
devolution.
Devolution. Yeah. I haven't heard anyone say devolved. Mm. Anyway, that's me.
You've been hanging around the wrong circle.
We talk a little else.
Yeah.
But the language skills have devolved to such an extent that anyone who talks intelligently is deemed quote-unquote faggy and therefore not worth listening to, and they just mock them. But and the president is basically just a wrestler.
He's like Apollo Creed.
Yeah, he's like Apollo Creed, and it's just the thing about something that's so funny, like it's just, it is really slapsticky and then just over the top silliness. But there's actually this really serious message underneath this film, which is fucking hell. Oh, damn, I swore. Sorry.
It's all right.
Apologies, listeners. But blooming heck.
We've really... got one listener, Alex Wishart, who's 9 years old. So just think about him.
But, you know, it's like, wow, we really, really are becoming very, very stupid as a population. I think that YouTube has got quite a lot to do with that, really.
In the background, that's Buddy the dog chewing his bone. It's now been removed.
You'll have to cue his silencer.
But yeah, I think that YouTube's got a lot to do with that. I think the internet has got a lot to do with when they eventually trace back why we're all so stupid and why the world's gone kind of wrong. I think it's going to be partly based on just the internet and what that did to our minds.
Yeah, I think so, maybe. And that it maybe we've got a generation of pretty much navel gazers, I think, who are really self-obsessed.
Mm.
I saw a girl on the train sitting next to her, opposite her mum, take photos of herself for approximately 1 hour and stand up and put shoes on and take photos of her shoes on in the aisle and have no qualms about how embarrassing or how self-obsessed it was.
Mm.
But I do agree with you. I think even you read the language on Twitter, you read the tweets, sentences don't even make any sense, I'm not grammatically correct at the best of times, but I think it's just embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry.
There's instant gratification has certainly sort of been rewarded, and
but it's the sense that the ease is king. Mm. I think that's what that film really puts out. One of the best jokes I think in it is that he crashes through a window of some regular guy who becomes his lawyer eventually, but the guy gets up to chuck him out, and his armchair has a built-in toilet to, you know, ease of access, which is, I think, actually quite conceivable.
Oh, yeah.
I would believe that could happen very soon.
You'd want to eat and defecate in the same place without moving.
Would you do that, Marek?
No.
Why?
Smell.
Yeah, it's disgusting, isn't
constant
it?
Constant smell. Yeah, but that's when some people, for ease, it's like my mobile phones have become this continual source of just, oh, isn't everything so easy now?
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, well, actually, I quite liked looking at a map at one point. I mean, I wasn't very good at it, I'll be honest with you. But, like, you know, at times it was like, oh, wow, I found my way here. Now, I found my way here tonight. And it was like, oh, that was easy, because I just looked on the phone and it told me, which is slightly frightening.
It's great using maps. And the thing, but you don't, everyone talks about not remembering anyone else's number.
Mm.
No one knows anyone's phone number because it's all, they're used to just saying their name, pressing their name on their phone.
Why are phone numbers still only numbers?
Mm.
Doesn't need to be anymore. Why aren't they like an email address?
There must be some neuroscientists who've looked how brains have changed and the structure of brains have changed. Probably not the equipment to do that. But it'd be interesting to see how, you know, taxi drivers' brains are supposed to be, have different frontal lobes because of, or
the knowledge that they have to.
And have people's brains reduced in certain areas. I know my head's actually hollow now.
A bit of a Homer Simpson figure.
Pretty much.
I heard somebody say an interesting thing, which was what happened in the 90s in the West, but specifically in America and the UK, is that we started identifying ourselves by our leisure, not our work, because there was so much money sloshing around. So people, you know, they identified themselves as the clothes, far more the clothes they wear and the sports they played and the films they watched and the music they had and all, you know, and that became the norm for people, and their work just became the thing they did to earn money to do all of that.
And I think that film really taps into that. There's the he has no clothes, you know, the guy who goes, he's just got his whatever they put him in, the medical outfit,
yeah,
you know,
smock,
and so he says, oh yeah, you can get some clothes. They're just there, and then it basically has like kind of almost like paper dispensers in a toilet, where it's just like there's like a shirt, and he just pulls them out, and then obviously this guy throws them away.
They've all got adverts on, haven't they, as well?
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm a quite a traditionalist person, as Marek probably is aware of. Partly, I quite like
right wing.
Not really.
That means right wing.
No, it doesn't. I don't mean right wing at all. I'm right in the middle.
That's right wing these days.
Not right wing. I believe in balance in the world, basically. But like, it's that idea that something is worth it because you earned it. You know, I feel the same way about sex. ultimately.
Oh no, here we go down that.
No, but like, if, you know, that's why, you know, some people, you know, get fascinated by prostitution and go to, and we'd go to Amsterdam and just be like, oh yeah, woo, get off, woo, fuck that, woo, woo, woo.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well I think that, you know, it's that, it's the chase, isn't it? It's the earning of stuff in life that matters.
Do some kissing, always do kissing first.
Yeah, definitely.
But going back to the film and away from your seedy exploits in Amsterdam.
Seedy right-wing exploits.
I've never actually done any
seedy exploits. Getting away from your seedy fantasies.
I don't have a fantasy. I have a full and rich, varied life of life.
Getting away from this explicit content, bearing in mind that a 9-year-old is probably listening to this and hasn't even got...
How do you know you've got a 9-year-old?
Because he's emailed in.
Is he the only one that emailed you?
One of a few.
What about five?
No, there's people that do it sporadically. By the way, if you want to email, you can always email in at...
DearFilmFandango@gmail.com.
Well, we'll be pleased to hear from you. Anyway, back to the film itself.
Yeah.
I think the idea is good. And it's a very watchable film. Here's my key point. I think the film itself, the humour is dumbed down itself.
Ah, interesting.
Which defeats the object of the film, because it feels like this is aimed at slightly stupid people. The humour's too easy and not sophisticated enough. That's what I found. Or maybe I'm just a bit more sophisticated than you, Howard. I don't know.
I mean, that's clearly not true. But I think that when you look at the director, you know, here's a guy, you know, people looked at Beavis and Butthead and thought, oh, this is stupid, isn't it? But as you watched it grow, it was clear that he was making some quite clever points.
King of the Hill, you know, even more so, probably.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
I'm not a big fan of either.
But that's, well, there you go. That would be why you didn't really like the film that much. Because, you know, for me, those two shows are really, they're kind of, it's like a subtle poke at stuff.
There was no subtlety in Idiocracy. It was quite direct. I thought it was quite spelt out what was happening at several points. Even the fact they had to have a narrator to say what's happening.
Mm.
So I didn't think it was a subtle exercise.
It's an interesting choice, isn't it, of Luke Wilson to play the side of the intelligent man. Because doesn't he normally play sort of fairly vacant leading men?
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't play the sort of bumbling clowns of Owen Wilson, but he isn't sort of your thinking man's sort of skeptic,
he's one step up from Owen Wilson's vacantness.
Yeah,
it's odd, isn't it? It's like do a staircase, and there's ones, and he there on the bottom two steps.
Yeah,
but I liked Maya. What's her name? Who is in it?
As the prostitute.
Yes, Maya Rudolph, who's in Bridesmaids. You might recognise her, and an awful film I forgot to talk about. I saw originally called The Way Way Back, which is a massive disappointment.
Why is that disappointment?
Because it's sentimental, and the lead's terrible.
Correct.
Pardon?
Carell.
Who's...
Steve Carell, isn't it?
No, he's good. Steve Carell. It's a different film that's come out called The Way, Way Back. Steve Carell's in it. Also, Sam Rockwell's in it. Maya Rudolph's in it. It's got CJ from The West Wing in it. It's got a brilliant cast.
Alison Janney.
Yeah, it's just not funny. And the boy playing it hasn't got the charisma to put it off. And I watched it with 2 15-year-olds, my nephew and his friend. I'm not hanging around kids.
That's what he
said. Just some guys I met at the mall.
Yeah.
As a
you met
of
on
age,
that bus.
As a coming of age film. Yeah. And it was a terrible one, and we're all deeply disappointed. So that was.
What age do you come of age?
Has that changed? Maybe it's the thing, people are getting stupider because they're getting older quite young, not developing. There's less gestation.
I think if there was a female in this room, she would be suggesting that men are responsible for most of this.
Well, certainly we've pushed genders in different directions, whereas girls have been sexualized earlier and earlier, and men have been told they can be children forever.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I don't know when my coming of age was.
What would you say makes you come of age?
Pubes.
Yeah, I think I remember... My first pube, actually.
I don't. And I have no recollection.
I think I pulled it out, actually.
Really?
And I've kept it in a glass. No one wants kept it in a glass case and forever. In fact, I was going to give it to you on your next birthday, Marek. So.
Why? I just want to know is why you... What? this is going to turn into a peculiar... You've taken it down this sex route. Why would you give me your first pube... On my next birthday.
I gave you my my foreskin, didn't I? So, you know.
You didn't do this, Howard. That's what happens if you get one of the Coen brothers on your show. Let's get back to this film.
Okay, right. Come on then.
What did you think, David?
I, personally, I'm I didn't watch Beavis and Butthead when it was on. I sort of like King of the Hill, but I don't find it that funny. I enjoy it. I think it's really well done characters, and it's got its own voice, which is rare. You know, there's so many things just rehashing other things they've seen. But King of the Hill didn't. I didn't find Idiocracy as funny as you're suggesting. Mm. But, you know, comedy is like that, isn't it? I mean, you won't always...
I think I should say that it wasn't just about them being funny. It was that it glues me to the concept.
Right.
And that's what I think why I've picked it, is because so often it's just a selection of throwaway gags and stories and characters you don't really care about. What Idiocracy does, like Airplane and like other films, it says, here's what you're into. This is your setup and this is your movie, and it's actually got a point to it in a weird... No, it's not, you know, necessarily like purposeful in most cases with comedy films, but I think Idiocracy actually does say, like, wow, we are going down a very stupid route.
Is it like there's a lot of dystopian sort of genre films, but this is
not many comedies though.
No, not many. And I thought this was engaging, and if even I didn't find it funny, wasn't looking at my watch, and I thought it always had something interesting to say. I think the concept itself for a film is a great concept, and carries the film. Yeah.
There's a load of fantastic little kind of like a double. This is why, you know, when you said to me what kind of film do you want to do, it's like I just want to do something that I'd watch again and again. And what that film gives you is tiny little things you weren't watching the first time that go on around it. There's loads of little great bits. Like he has to go to the. I mean, one of the best jokes in it is the fact that he goes to get his tattoo, because everyone has tattoos in the future that are basically your card. That's all your information is stored in that tattoo. And he goes and he says they ask him what his name is, and he says not sure, and he ends up having not sure, and that's his name for the whole film pretty much. Is he becomes President Not Sure, which just works so
spoilers.
Well. Oh, I'm not allowed to do spoilers then.
It's all right. It's too well.
Fine. It's
no one's going to watch it. No one's going to watch it. Anyway.
Well, interestingly, it didn't get a big release when it was first out. They sat on it for ages because it was originally called. I've just been reading trivia about it. I'll parrot it back to you. It was originally called the United States of America, and
that would have been a bad name.
Yeah, and they changed the name after it absolutely bombed at test screenings, and then they sat on it for like a year or something, and then gave it a limited release, and it disappeared. Wow. Disappeared. So
been quite a cult following. Popular cult film.
And it's like I say, the little bits in it, the little sequences, like, you know, like I say, I think overall it's got a really good point to the film. But there's like the sequence where he goes to the doctors and the hospital, and the hospital is you know, he goes and he says he can't remember who he is, basically, and she's just got almost like a kind of Fisher Price selection of buttons to press for what's wrong with him. And when he goes to see the doctor finally, the doctor is just a stoner. Like, he's just someone who smokes loads of weed, because obviously eventually doctors won't actually diagnose anything anymore. It'll just be a machine. I think there's stuff like that in it that's just really like, wow, I can definitely see that.
We're getting the homeopathy sneaking into pharmaceuticals in this country like they already have rampantly in the States. Have you
seen Prince Charles?
You can now buy copper bracelets at Boots that are supposed to help your blood.
They don't.
They do nothing. No. But it's sort of it's a creeping sort of really.
Do you think we've peaked as a civilization?
Totally, and that's part of the reason I'm not a performer as such, but you know that my persona is that of a miserable git.
You like to talk about sex a bit too much.
I don't talk about sex at all, really. I was giving that as a reference.
Okay.
Do you want me to talk about sex?
No, not anymore, please. No more.
Okay, fine. But like, people ask me why you're miserable, and it's basically because I feel the end of the world is nigh, really. It's definitely impending, and it just looks like it's a slow decline as opposed to like a big crash and it just all explodes. Like, we're just going to decline until we're basically no more, because we're just so rubbish at everything.
That police siren was beautifully timed for that bit.
Dystopian monologue.
The apocalypse soaring down the road.
Well, it hasn't history more been a series of empires rising and falling, and then from the ashes comes something else?
I think the only hope to save us is the Far East, really.
China.
Mm.
Well, maybe
they may force us to get our, you know, sort our stuff out. Really.
Well, Idiocracy shows a very Americanized version of Idiocracy itself.
Yeah, they never actually go outside the country, do they?
No.
I often think that in films about kind of incredible situations, what are the rest of the world doing while this is going on? I think that about District 9.
Yeah.
And they never really mention in District 9 what the rest of the world is doing. South Africa, if that happened in South Africa, you would have South Africa shut down so quickly. Those South Africans will get no say in what happens.
But most American films only show what's happening in America. My favourite example of this is from G.I. Joe Retaliation, I think it is, where the bad guy's broken into the UN or whatever equivalent it is, and they do that demonstration of power thing and decimate London, and it just gets utterly destroyed in a big CGI fest. And they've already established that the British delegate is there, but they just cut to a reaction shot of the French delegate just going, "What are you doing?" And that's it. That's the only reaction to the entire destruction of London.
I've noticed that London is getting destroyed quite a lot in American
films. It's because it's got an internationally recognisable landmark.
It's always London or Paris. Yeah. That's it. One of the two.
They're the two.
You need a landmark.
Occasionally they destroy the pyramids, but no one would care because it's not in a built-up area.
It's always
London.
It's always like, it has to be a little bit like so we can feel sympathy, but far away, so it's different, so it doesn't really... No one's really that sad about it. It's like, London's gone. Just sum up on that. I thought it was all right. Okay.
I think it's hopefully something that will inspire filmmakers in comedy to try and do something a bit different.
I like a high concept comedy. To go, you can be imaginative and funny at the same time without having to just plant it in the mundane in the hope to, you know, get the largest market possible. I think no.
And to have a bit of a point, like to say, God, can you? You know what? You can see this happening, can't you? It's like one of the best bits about it is the fact that there's no water. No one drinks water anymore. They just drink a form of Gatorade, and it's because the corporation bought the Food Standards Agency. And I just think that is a really, really, that's what I mean. You say it's like, this kind of
Fake meat stuff.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Well, these fake societies being set up, like there are so many sort of science academies now that are just they're entirely paid for by tobacco companies to say that it's fine. There's an advert I've been seeing recently that makes me laugh, that it says it's from like the Beer Society or something, and it's a man recommending drinking Stella with a meal because it goes really well with food. And you're just like, what? It doesn't say it's an advert for Stella at any point, but it's just like, I don't think Stella goes particularly well with food, thanks.
Yeah. Someone press the big red button now and destroy us.
No, I just think some people need to make a stand.
Yeah.
That'll be my
What are you going to do about it then?
I'm planning on making a big stand. Don't you worry about that.
Stop consuming and throw up.
What's your big stand?
You'll see.
Ooh.
Sounds like someone who's going to kill the president. Okay. FBI, please stop following Howard Cohen.
Yeah, on Twitter. Jelly Moustache is what you need to look up.
Right, we'll talk about that then. We all like receiving letters, don't we?
I love receiving letters.
I don't get any letters.
Well, I meant emails, that's a new thing, isn't it? Here's an email from Jack Cooper. Hi, David and Marek. Where should he be from? Oh, he's from Cardiff. Okay.
Hello, David and Marek. 99% of the time, I pretty much agree with the critics' aggregate score on Rotten Tomatoes. However, Kick-Ass 2 got absolutely panned, and it's a rare example of me thinking that they completely missed the point. I'm not sure if it was a conscious decision by the filmmakers or not, but Kick-Ass 2 doesn't try to remake the first film, and is all the better for it. I think it's a really smart move, blah 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 blah. It's a completely different beast that happens to be set in the same universe with the same characters. I thoroughly enjoy the ridiculous stereotypes, unexpected toilet humour, and way over the top violence. As I'm writing this email, I can hear one of Marek's accents in my head.
What he's done there is he's put the spell check on, and he's put, instead of Marek, it says market.
Anyway, my question is, what films panned by the critics do you love, and why do you think they're wrong? Jack Cooper.
Good question.
Hold on, Jack, good question.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to say good question. As hosts, it's our job, Howard, to say that.
You have dragged me here. I'll say good question, mate.
All right,
don't let this get nasty. I'll get physical on microphone.
All right, mate.
Jonathan Ross tells off his guests once they've finished recording, because he's a pro. But then he gives them a piece of his mind.
This has got very aggressive. Buddy's getting aggressive.
With a burger.
Howard's getting aggressive.
I'm not getting aggressive. I'm just letting you know where you stand.
All right, Mr. Cool Dude.
So what do we think? Films that got panned by critics that are actually worth something.
Can I go first?
Go please do.
I'm gonna really annoy everyone. Okay.
Again.
What a horrible man.
No.
I get really frustrated when people say that the remake of Willy Wonka was a terrible movie. And I think that people say that for one reason alone, which is it wasn't the original. I don't think it's an amazing thing that, you know, you have to watch it again and again again. But I think if you'd never seen the original, you'd watch that and go, oh, that's fun. Like, I had some fun watching that. I think that's when films often get panned for me, is when people are like, oh, I really need to take this seriously. Just have a bit of fun with it. Like,
I agree with your general point. I think that movie was one of the worst things I've seen. But, yeah, you know, sometimes people are just nostalgic, but
what I'm getting at about that film is that throughout it, you're given sections.
Yes.
And a number of those sections are worth watching and worth watching again. There's things that happen in that factory that are amazing, and because the technology had advanced cinema, they could never have done it back then. And so I found it well worth watching.
Okay.
Didn't want to watch the original. Always will watch the original if you gave me the choice, but we were influenced by the fact that the original was such a great movie.
Sure. I don't think we should ever not be, though. I mean, the whole culture of remaking things because their brand carries with it weight so people will buy tickets, I think, is sort of repugnant anyway. Mm. There's no need... If they've done it well already, why do you need to do it again? You don't, is the answer. You just want people to go and see it out of a sort of morbid curiosity, like slowing down at a car crash, I think. And they end.
I love slowing down at a car crash.
Well, exactly. Lots of people do. And then, you know, they go and see them and then go, oh, I hated it. Did you? Yeah, I hated it as well. But they keep making them. There seems to be an entire industry of that now. But looking forward to RoboCop.
God, the trailer looks terrible. We watched the trailer together the other day, didn't we?
It's upsetting. I mean, I get excited by it. And that's another example, then, again, really, of that. Is that I'll go and watch RoboCop. I'm not going to go in thinking about how amazing Paul Verhoeven is as a director. I'll just think about that. I like the RoboCop idea, and I'm going to enjoy that. And then when I come out, I'll probably go, yeah, that wasn't as good as the original. It won't fill me full of the same love, but I'll have a good time.
But what was so great about the original was the humour that's in it.
Yeah. Mm.
And this thing, and as well as it was, we talked about action films last week, but the sort of RoboCop was a great sort of action film with a bit of depth to it.
Yeah.
And Paul Verhoeven quirks, which made it so original.
Well, it's about something. And films seem to not be about anything anymore. Or they just sort of, they're vaguely an echo of being about the thing that the source material was about, but the director hasn't really understood it. It seems to happen a lot. But, I mean, I haven't seen RoboCop, I can't pass judgment, as in the new one.
Mm.
But it does look like all the other films. In all of the characters have no personality, they're just cool, sort of photogenic looking people saying the same lines of dialogue from every film. It's shot like every film, and everything that's happening has happened before. Like, to me, it's exactly like the new Star Trek movies. They're flashy and big and expensive and dull, and all the more boring in my mind for the fact this has been done well before. You're adding nothing, you've thought of nothing, you're just making this piece of glossy shit.
But you pay to go and see Riddick.
Riddick's new. They haven't made Riddick before.
Okay. Slightly changing subject. My film that I think got not panned necessarily by the critics, but a lot of my friends said it was awful, and you hear on the streets awful, was Paul.
I didn't see Paul because people were saying it's
exactly
awful.
Exactly. And I watched
How was it?
Well, I was on Love Film with my girlfriend trying to find something to watch that we'd agree on watching. And there was nothing on there. And I said, well, should we watch Paul? And I thought, even from the trailers, it looked awful.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Oh, really?
I was shocked how much I enjoyed it. I think
have you
my
seen
expectations.
It?
No, I haven't seen it, no.
Because you heard it was rubbish, right?
And, yeah, mainly, yeah.
Well, what's interesting about it is, I think Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, they're really, really good together.
Oh, they're a fantastic double act.
And Nick Frost is especially great in this. The only thing that they didn't need to do was the alien was annoying.
Mm.
I'd rather just see those two as comic book geeks.
Mm.
At the start, the first 10-15 minutes was just those two.
Yeah.
I turned around and I said, this is really good.
Well, the alien put me off in the trailer. Yeah. Like, there was one gag I laughed at in the trailer, and then afterwards I thought, well, trailers, I hate them for it in comedies, but they always put the best jokes in. So if that's the one good joke in it, then I'm, you know, I've seen it.
It did. I don't know if it probably was a 15 or something, this film, but it felt like some of the jokes were dumbed down for that American audience, which they haven't really done in Hot Fuzz. And yet, Hot Fuzz is so good. But I preferred Paul to The World's End.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll try and.
So you should watch it. I was really surprised because I thought I'll just watch this because I do. Like Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, and I couldn't find anything else on there. I was really pleasantly surprised.
Oh, cool.
It's odd how that sort of everyone I knew thought Paul was rubbish without ever having watched it.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. Well, I've racked my brains and I can't think. I think I probably don't recall reviews that well. I try not to read them because they spoil the thing. So I can't recall one that was panned apart from, and I keep talking about it, and it sounds like I love it even more than I actually do. But Dread was universally considered mediocre, and I really, really liked.
Because of the raid that came out, was that
probably
Doppelfilm.
Probably, but I mean, they had to kickstarter it, or at least petition to get Dread made in the first place. Now there's a petition on the website of the comics to get a second movie out of it, because they need to petition, because the first one was sort of, because of the reviews, didn't do that well financially, so hasn't guaranteed a sequel.
That was one of those films for me that just felt overly computer gamey at times, and I still think with great action and sci-fi you still feel the human element, and I think it lost a bit of the human element.
Oh, I don't know, I really enjoyed, I mean, the human, yes, but you've got that problem of having the RoboCop type character. I mean, RoboCop is borrowed from Judge Dredd, and they admit that. So you've got basically a robot at the middle of it, so there's no humanity there, so you're really relying on your sidekick for that humanity. Yeah. And I thought she did a good job in it. Anyway.
I've got another one, if you want another one, and it's going to get abuse. I'm happy with that. It's not a great movie, but I really think it's watchable. 2012 with John Cusack is a watchable movie.
I watched that.
I was sick. I watched it and I was like, I'm really feeling better now.
Seen it because of the trailers so bad it put me off, and the reviews.
He's a limo driver who he meets Woody Harrelson, doesn't he, caravan, and then and they end up going on a massive boat.
Yeah,
that's all I can remember.
Is it one of the films that is actually nothing like the trailers? You know, when they show the trailer, you think, well, this film was. I've seen quite a few of them where the film is actually much better than the trailer, but they've gone for trying to get the biggest mass market possible from the trailer and sold the film differently.
It isn't that different, but it's actually a pretty watchable. It's like those, you know, I always call them like Sunday afternoon films, you know, where you got, you know, sometimes you do.
Yeah, I know.
You feel like you've got nothing better to do and you're just going to watch a film that you kind of quite like.
I watched Surrogates. This afternoon,
lovely.
For that very reason.
Lovely, what a lovely
very,
afternoon.
Very, very afternoon film.
What a very watchable film. I also wanted to bring up a film I just saw, which I kind of watched, didn't see any reviews, and then looked at the reviews, and it's like a mishy, kind of response to it, is Only God Forgives, which I don't know if you guys have seen that.
No. It's a film by the same director of Drive, also starring Ryan Gosling. I've heard people who hate this film and absolutely love it in equal measure.
Isn't it supposed to be just far more violent?
This is my verdict on this guy, whose name I can definitely not pronounce. Van Zwiet, or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Love his stuff.
But he makes Tarantino look like a pussy. That's the level I reckon this guy works at. The violence in it is incredible, but the weirdest thing about... Because after seeing Drive, which I assume we've all seen...
I love Drive.
Yeah. There was this thing about, wow, wasn't it really weird that they were so slow and kind of silent and not moving? And then he's done it again. He's repeated the same trick very much in this film. And it's an action film at points. But the fact that it's almost like he's turning film into still photography. Because the scene's so lacking in movement, apart from one scene, which if you haven't seen it, just go and check out this one scene where he goes and fights as an actual Thai kickboxing match, and his track drops on it. It's basically the Double Dragon soundtrack. I nearly jumped out of my seat when I literally went, like a gorilla in excitement.
You wanted to pick up a bin and throw it at a guy
so
twice
exciting.
Your size.
It was exciting. It was very exciting.
The director's name is Nicholas Winding Refn. it's pronounced obviously wrong.
Winding Refn.
Yeah. I saw an interview with him. Watching Drive, I was really blown away by Drive the cinema. I absolutely loved it. I watched an interview with him talking, with the director, about the film. He came across as one of the most awful people I've ever seen interviewed in my life.
Wow.
So don't even watch it, because you'll just think he's a bad end.
I'm sorry to keep going, but I'm going to do one more area of film that I think gets...
Okay, fine.
Do you mind?
No, do it. I can't think of any, so...
That's why I was going to keep going.
Yeah, please do.
I think, because he's arguably one of the greatest directors of all time, a Woody Allen film that isn't a great, great classic gets said to be absolutely awful, when in reality it's probably just a half decent movie.
I'm dreading what you're going
to
say.
No, I've got loads. I could pick loads. I don't know which ones you're about to
think. There's one that I think is laughable, but I love Woody Allen. Is that Match Point? Yeah.
Yeah, Match Point is not a great film.
But Midnight in Paris I thought was really good.
Really good. I'd also, you know, if people are actually going to listen to this and then go and watch these films, I'd say Purple Rose of Cairo, Curse of the Jade Scorpion is just a slapstick one-liner fest. If you want to see a real comedy writer at work, watch that film. Also, I'd say the one with Ewan McGregor and Colin Farrell called Cassandra's Dream is not as awful as it was said at the time. It's actually a pretty watchable mystery kind of thriller crime plot. Another one, which just like, this is what I mean, he brought this out, I think, a couple of years after Annie Hall, and people were just like, yeah, no, he's just being a bit self-indulgent, isn't he, really? It's like when you're one of the greatest, you know, artists of the 20th century, like, you can get away with it.
Well, also, you take risks, you try things, you don't know if
it was very
work,
much about his
you?
Life, no, a lot of it. And Radio Days, that is a wonderful film, and will never get the press or the credit. Zelig is another one. These films don't get the credit because they're not the archetypal... That's a Woody Allen film. Gotta, you know, love. Those are films I really recommend. They didn't get critical acclaim, though.
Well, that is good.
That's why I usually do this bit, isn't it?
Yeah, that was my summary. We should also talk about the Film Fandango Live, which is coming up.
Yes. Wow. On the 29th of October, we're doing a live show and quiz for Halloween, which will be at the Forge and Foundry in Camden, London. And you can get tickets online. The easiest way is to go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/filmfandango. If you'd like to get in touch with us about anything, you've seen a film or you'd like to recommend one, or you've seen one of the ones we've mentioned, then do get in touch, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or simply tweet us @filmfandango.
Lovely, you did that very well, didn't
Thanks,
you?
Thanks, yes.
But this is independent, this podcast, right?
Oh, right. Beep, beep. Yes. Also, if you'd like to contribute to our running costs, we do this all for free. So you can donate, if you care to do so, at our website, filmfandango.co.uk. And thank you to all those people who've donated already.
Yes, thank you very much. I really like films.
They're good, aren't they?
They're good.
Do you ever start watching a film and don't finish it, and then it's kind of ruined forever because you can never really go back?
I hate to do that. I try not to turn them off ever.
Devastates me.
Yeah.
Just leave it till you've forgotten.
I did it with that Nicolas Cage film about he was at war, something about whispers. It's got loads of people from the Far East helping fix the Vietnam War.
Ooh. Oh, Wind Talkers.
Yeah, there you go. Similar. I started watching that, got 20
something,
minutes in.
Something About Whispers is a much better title.
I was in an advert for Whispers once.
I was the only chocolate bars made me sick just from one bite.
Well, we had it was free Whispers all day, and I've never bought one since. Can't do
I
it
I do like the gold ones though. That's a good, yeah, good, that's a good combo.
To turn into
more of a Yorkie man now.
Are you wrapping this up now?
Would you like to plug your podcast?
I'm going to plug my podcast. I do a podcast with a guy called Gaz Wood, who has to come on this podcast. He is the ultimate film geek. You've met him, Marek. You did an episode, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, sing his praises, why don't you?
He's so passive-aggressive this entire episode.
He's the ultimate film geek.
I like him, he's nice.
Yeah, he's very good. So I do a podcast with him called Possibly of Interest, in which we talk about, with a special guest, things that could possibly be of interest. What did we talk about with you, Marek? We talk about aliens. We talked about whether The Simpsons is funny anymore.
Talked about space stations.
Space stations. We talked about sperm jacking in Zimbabwe. You already want to listen to it, don't you?
I want to know what that is.
It is interesting.
It is horrible.
So, yeah, definitely come and listen to Possibly of Interest. It will make your life better.
Is it on iTunes?
It's on iTunes, yeah. And you can find it on the Facebook as well.
That's how we roll.
Hey,
I know I've always got this bullying relationship with Howard, so it probably comes across as I've been quite bullying. But let me assure you, listeners, I know him in real life, and he 100% deserves it.
I really, what's the word? I'm doing a gesture with my hands that suggests what I'm doing.
Effuse.
Yeah, no, I ask for it.
Looks like you're sort of scraping in your gold.
I ask for it constantly. I think my personality just demands that I get abused, basically. Oh, okay. So I don't really have any problem with it. And I actually have to say...
A personality type, though, isn't it? Yeah. The sort of abuse magnets. Mm. I've noticed.
And I literally can take it all day. That's good. But I take this chance to say that I actually quite love Marek in a weird way. I don't know if you feel the same or not.
No. I don't know what's happened this episode.
No, I've got time for Marek. He's, you know...
He's a good guy. Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's all right.
They always, Jewish people, this is a real racial stereotype, they always try and analyse things in public like this, don't they?
I'm not analysing, just you know, the hate that he shows for me on here is embodiment of his love for me.
Okay, yeah. Well, this has been a fascinating podcast. We've seen many different sides to our personalities here.
We have.
Please keep watching films.
Yes. We'll be back next week with yet more films and maybe another guest, who knows. But yes, keep watching the films. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.